Take your Bible, well, always turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul writes this probably about 26 years after Jesus said it in the upper room with disciples the night before he was arrested. And just before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you really look from the time that Jesus left the upper room in the book of Matthew until he got to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus taught disciples a lot during that time about what to look forward to. You think that as close as he said what he said during that period of time, that they would have had more discernment, because he told them about everything that was going to take place in some form or fashion. And yet when it actually took place, they acted in a different way than probably they should have. And yet at the same time, we have to remember they didn't understand all that the Lord was saying. He had to just about interpret everything he said to them. And at this time, they won't a lot of time to do that because he's headed towards Calvary. But at this time here in the upper room, here's what Paul found out in Asia Minor when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And he says in verse 23 to the church at Corinth, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." Now, it's amazing that that Paul knew so much about this. And I guess you could say the disciples had a walk with Christ for 3.5 years. And Paul was in Asia Minor a good period of time, I think about 3 years, at learning directly from Christ. We know this, he said in the book of Galatians. Evidently, when Paul was put in the place he was at at that time, there was a lot that the Lord Jesus told him personally. And by the way, he had to be told that to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the apostles learned over a period of 3 years when they were around him, not around him, he's away, and he was at times with them. And they had a lot of questions. I believe with Paul, he must have spent a lot more time personally teaching. Because it's one thing, I think, to walk with Christ 3.5 years and listen, thinking that as a Jew, God was going to set up his kingdom, and here's the person who was sent, the Messiah, had come, those who believed in him, and that in turn, the kingdom of God would be set up in the kingdom of heaven that God had promised, and they looked forward to that, and after 3.5 years of following the Lord Jesus Christ and finding out that was not going to happen, and seeing Christ killed like all others had been killed, from man's standpoint, it looked like it was a failure. But the Apostle Paul met on the road to Damascus, and we believe the time that the Lord spent with him, he gave him a lot during that time for him to write the number of epistles he wrote. And without those epistles, ladies and gentlemen, we will not really understand Age of Grace like we do. We can look at the four Gospels and see the Christ coming. We can see him here. We can see his ministry. But once he went to Calvary and died, had not we had the book of Acts even though Luke wrote that and had the rest of the New Testament that Paul wrote, we will not really understand what we're to be doing in the age of grace as a church. And so now Paul is telling us, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, when he said this, I don't take it lightly. What I received of the Lord. He wasn't talking about that he was inspired. He wasn't talking about the fact that he thought this or that. He said, "I received it. I take it for granted direct from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ." I call it, say, God, God the Son. And he said, "I received this from the Lord." And then he quotes exactly what took place in the upper room at that night of the Passover. "And when he had begun, and when he had given thanks," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "he broke it." Well, let me go back and look at 23 first. "For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Someone said sometimes, "Well, he said, 'For them to this do.'" No, God has given the instructions, and Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And if I understand this, it includes them that are saved, and on down through the time till Jesus comes back. One of these days, before long, the whole church, from the first century until the end of the church age, and every saint of God who's ever been born, and that's the only way you can be a saint of God, to be born into the family of God, is going to take this fresh and anew with the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the head of the table. And Brother Hans, I can't believe it. That's going to be a wonderful sight when we go before Him. We'll go before the bema seat of Christ and be judged according to our rewards, and it'll be passed out. And then He will take His wife to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we'll sit down. I don't know who's going to serve the tables, but it won't be deacons. They'll be included with the rest. It won't be the pastor. It won't be you and I. We have someone serving the table. Some said it'd be angels. I don't know. I just know this. We will be treated like kings and priests because we live for God due to the new birth. And many give their life for the Lord. And by the way, we may not die physically for the Lord. Hope we would if God saw that in His providence for us. But somewhere along the line, you have lived for it. All of us here. A child of God can't help but live for God, especially after saved. Sometimes we have a lot of zeal and not no knowledge. But we give our life to Him. And there are parts of the life, maybe we should give more. And I think in that day, all of us will think, why didn't I see it? God told me over and over, and I heard it and heard it. I didn't believe it, maybe. I thought what I was doing. But you're going to find out, all of us, from myself down and even the Apostle Paul, will probably realize we didn't do as much as we could have done. So He not measures with someone else. He measures by our own self. He measures what He gave us the talent to do and gave us the opportunity to do. And He measures within our own self what we did do and what we could have done, reward us for what we did do and realize what we lost because we could have. And in that day, it'll mean something. And I believe there's every tears in heaven to be then. Not because we're there, but because we realize how much life God gave us and how little we did for Him. I'll be honest, folks. It's sobering to think about how we use our life. And in turn, how much time God has input to it. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. He didn't let us live like the Old Testament. He lets us live in the age of grace. And He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. And when He'd given thanks, He broke it. And He told them to eat this. This was His body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament. It's my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. In other words, as often as you drink this cup in the atmosphere it is now, though it may be simple juice, you're remembering what the blood of Christ did for you. Isn't it an amazing thing? Taking a cup of juice is symbolic of the blood of Christ and knowing that that represents something that God did for us through Christ's blood we couldn't do for ourselves and that we could be free from sin because of the blood of Christ, because He was our sacrifice. And now we come and we take of the cup to remind us of the blood that Jesus shed 2,000 years ago. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do also show the Lord's death till He comes. I love that because as often as you do what we're doing tonight, the world may look at it as just trying to be religious. But He said, you're showing, again, notice, the Lord's death till He comes. That is, tonight we recognize Jesus had to die for His body to be broken, for His blood to be shed, before you and I could actually have any bearing on what we're doing tonight. And we must not forget that, and we don't, because if you're sincere before God like you should, and you've been saved, you realize what an opportunity God has given us in the life of a Christian who's been born again, that we could take time out for just a few minutes ever so often and be as clean before God to where today we got saved. Simply because we do what the Lord Jesus said. Isn't it a wonderful Savior to let us know that we're precious and so is the human race, but only those who believe God's record and receive Christ as Savior are precious in God's sight. He loved the world, but they don't benefit from it like you and I who trusted Christ as Savior. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that His love is such a way that once we truly walk through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and entering that arena by faith in Him, then He Himself sees to it to know the difference between born again and playing the game, and in turn sent the Holy Spirit to live in us forever. Not only here, but to get us to heaven, we'll be in his presence. He lives in us here, but we'll be in his presence when we get on the other side. And so here again, he says, if you do that, you show the depth of the Lord Jesus. That is, we're saying, we don't care what the world says. You can mock us. But we're showing that we believe Christ's body was riddled by men, and his blood was so sacred that it was like the lambs of old who cannot give away sin, but so perfect and pure that we can become clean because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then he said, whosoever therefore shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. A lot of folks try to explain that away. Wait, I just read it at face value. But let a man examine himself, and let so him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And notice the examine is first, and that's a good way God can say, yeah, you're my child, or you're not my child, because you have bear witness of the Holy Spirit. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not concerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sleep setting forth, for some reason, physical death came. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Notice, you say, well, why would it be the seat of Christ? Being the seat of Christ is a judge giving out rewards, not in the sense to be judged for sin. Our sin has already been judged on Calvary, and it's been confessed. Therefore, when we confess something, even after saved, God says, if you do it and use the blood and claim the blood, then you are blameless. And that's what Jesus has done. You and I can never live sinless. If we could have, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, ladies and gentlemen. Do you understand what sin is? If we could have lived without sinning, Jesus would never have had to come. But because he's here, we need him. We need him to get saved. We need him after we're saved. We need him to deliver us. We need him to come and get us. And one day he will. Amen. And he said, for if we judge ourselves, we shall be judged. But when we are judged, I love this verse, we're chastened of the Lord. Chastened means correction. Chasing means lead in a different direction you're going, because we're headed in the wrong direction. Maybe some choice, something in life. Who knows? It could be a relationship. It could be a lot of things. That we should not be condemned in the world. So tonight we come for the purpose of communion, a time in our life from the last communion. And I've said probably, I don't know, certainly many scores of time that I believe with all my heart in this life that we live and rub elbows. The world's going in opposite direction we're going. There's more people going away, different direction we're going, than we who are going in direction to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And you can't move against an audience that's moving this way when you're moving this way and rubbing elbows in life without some things happening, because you're still in this old body flesh. You're still in this body that makes decisions many times that sometimes you know afterwards it's the wrong decision. And so we rub elbows with this world, and God said, I put something in. Not only were you saved when you got saved, but I gave you something like the upper room. And I set that up with the apostles so it could be said later that when you go through life and you're truly born again, your life is not a lifestyle. Your life is a life for God to use. But because you're going in an opposite direction, because we can lose our cool, because the flesh is very weak, because sometimes our mind and eyes see things should not see, and things go through the mind that really does not need to be there, and God helps us get it out. But if it weren't for God helping us, it would settle there, and you find people a lot of times who are not saved, when they begin to have things settle in the mind, they go the opposite direction and can't understand why. The reason was their lifestyle becomes something it was not. Why? Because they weren't really born again. So God said, I give you some key things to look at. So when you come to this time, every time, we do it four times a year on fifth Sunday, every time you come to that place that you do this and you do it right before me, then when you partake of this bread, you can be as clean as you were the day you got saved. Because the blood of Christ can cleanse you there, and you have a right because you're a child of God, as much as did the very day you were born into the family of God. Isn't God wonderful? Amen. Isn't God gracious? Amen. Isn't God loving? So the night we come as born-again children of God, brothers and sisters of the Lord, who can, the blood connects us. God's blood connects us together, not only here in this area and other Christians in this area, but also around the world, keeps us together, connects us together. And we come to obey our Lord and Savior tonight. And thank you for being here. May we pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this book. Lord, do you have give it to us. The Holy Spirit comes in us, and he shows us so much about what God has done for us so we can know the difference between just being religious, putting on a religious cloak, and being born to the family of God. Lord, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the Word of God that tells us what we should be and then shows us what can happen when sometimes Satan tricks us up and makes us think like Jacob or makes us act like somebody, even the Old Testament or the New Testament, or even to the place not understand our situations. But we understand if God said, like to Paul, my grace is sufficient to you, it satisfies us because we know it came from you. Bless the night, I pray, as we take of this. Help us, individual, before these. Ask you to look into our heart and then look into our soul, and may we accept it and take this tonight worthy because of your precious blood. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.